As I said earlier, I never, ever, ever get to preach about Palm Sunday. And I don't know that it's a good idea today either, but we're doing it. So something festive, something new. Jesus' procession into the city, right? The people are waving palms, they're chanting Hosanna, they're doing the whole thing. Jesus' procession in the city was modeled on a royal procession, right? A royal procession of a king, even perhaps a conquering king, a foreign conquering king. Jerusalem, as we know, was occupied by the Roman army. And so Jesus coming in like that, you can bet the army was watching, wondering what was going to happen. As well as, of course, King Herod. There was the local king who was sort of a fake puppet-style king, but a king nonetheless, and still wanted to keep that title. And you can bet that he and his people were also watching to see what would happen. And none of them, the Romans or the Herodians, if you want to call them that, appreciated the crowd calling Jesus a king or saying that he was coming in the name of the Lord. Lots to be concerned about there if you're those people. Now, the people who chanted Jesus' name, the people who shouted Hosanna, the people who were waving the palms and throwing their coats down and believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Not to spoil what's going to happen later, but later in the story, these people are going to have a real different opinion of Jesus, and they're going to shout a lot of real different things about him. And so what I want us to keep in mind today is that the people, this is my theory about this. These people who are shouting, these people who are doing this, they believed in Jesus. But they did not believe Jesus. They believed in Jesus, but they did not believe Jesus. And we'll get into what that means. So, for the starters, the most obvious thing, Jesus had told his disciples that he must be arrested and killed and would rise again on the third day. Nobody believed that. Nobody believed that. To be fair, how could they have? What could that possibly have meant? And nobody wanted that to be true. So they we don't know what he's talking about. He's saying confusing things again. We'll just let it go. The people wanted, and again, who can blame them? They wanted to skip over all that bad stuff directly to the happy ending of the story. It's actually that same impulse, wanting to skip over the bad stuff and get to the happy ending of the story, that is why we have Passion Sunday now. Because people would come on Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna, they'd come back on Easter, Jesus is risen, and they would skip over Good Friday, right? We do the same thing. We're not so different from the people back then. Maybe in this way we are. The people then, they wanted Jesus to be this conquering king, right? They wanted him to claim his victory over Herod and over Rome. They wanted Jesus to overthrow Herod, and they wanted Jesus to start a holy war against the Roman oppressors. That's what they wanted Jesus to do. I don't think we want Jesus to start wars now. We've got that going over those people with the benefit of hindsight. Now, Jesus' political opponents, the Jewish people who didn't like what he was doing, named here as Pharisees, in other places they're called by other names, and there's other groups that didn't like Jesus. But ultimately, they believe in Jesus the same as the crowds did. They think that Jesus is coming to claim this throne. They see this procession. They say, see, he's riding in. He believes this stuff. He's really going to try to take over. And they don't like that. They see that as blasphemy. They see that as Jesus claiming God's name for himself. And nobody's supposed to do that. To be fair, really, nobody's supposed to do that. Jesus was a very unusual exception, in that people now see that that was an okay thing to do. But so these Pharisees, they believe in Jesus and in the power that he has over people, and that's why they want to have him killed. That's why they get so desperate so quickly to resort to anything to have him even killed. So the crowds of Jesus' supporters on this day and the crowds of his opponents each told stories to one another that tried to make Jesus into something he was not. They ascribed to him human ambition and earthly power that just had nothing to do with Jesus, right? They thought, well, he wants to be the king. He's going to start an army. He's going to do this whole thing. That's what they thought was going to, and some people were like, yeah, let's do it. And other people were like, oh no, that's terrible. And they were all wrong, because none of that was what Jesus was trying to do. People have been doing very similar things ever since with Jesus, trying to reshape Jesus to fit their or our hopes and fears. Think about some of the things we do now. Sometimes we try to make Jesus into Santa Claus with his naughty list. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. That's not Jesus. That's Santa Claus. That's a whole different thing, right? But we do that. We make Jesus into Santa Claus that way. Or some of my favorites. Have you seen those images of Jesus with, like, he's really buff and he's got big muscles and he's like, and he's on the cross like a big bodybuilder? Like, what even is that? I have genuinely have no idea what people are trying to get at with that stuff. It just totally foreign to me. Or probably something you have seen more of. Have you seen Jesus blue-eyed and blonde-haired and very European-looking? Also not historically accurate, you know? There are many, many ways, big ways and small ways, that we try to shape Jesus into what we want Jesus to be. We all do it. I do it too. And we try to hopefully catch ourselves and other people can point it out so we can stop doing that. We try to make Jesus into something that he was not. In our gospel story today, everybody was telling stories about Jesus, right? The stories were ripping through the crowd. They knew that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. They knew he had done these miracles. They had heard some of his teachings or little bits here and there. And they were all talking about him. People were pinning their greatest hopes on him and their greatest fears on him. And unfortunately, a lot of that just amounted to gossiping about him. Do y'all know how gossip works? I feel like maybe you do. Gossip makes everybody, the reason people gossip is so that they can feel important, so they can feel like it's part of that they're part of the story, and it's their story to tell, right? Again, we all do this. Unfortunately, the self-importance that comes with gossiping about something overshadows the truth, and it stops people from listening to what's really happening. The people stopped listening to Jesus because they were too busy telling the stories that they wanted to tell about him. And so the truth got lost. Notice that Jesus didn't even bother to address the crowds here. Jesus does not have any lines in this part of the story. And even in our later gospel story, we're going to hear from Mark's gospel, there's only a couple of brief lines of Jesus in that story. He knew that the narrative had escaped him, that this story had gone beyond him. And whatever he said in defense of himself or in explanation of himself would just go right over people's heads. Nobody wanted to listen to Jesus anymore by this Holy Week time. They had already decided who he was, what he was, what they thought he was going to do. And so he didn't even bother to tell them. Jesus knows very well that it's already too late to correct the people. Now, the people did know that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead again, especially here in John's version that we get today. That was big on people's minds. So they knew that Jesus had tremendous power, power over even death itself. Many of them believed rightly that Jesus' power came from God. It's not that the people were wrong about Jesus' power, it's that they assumed that Jesus would use that power the way that they would or the way that anybody else would, right? They assumed that Jesus would use his tremendous power, even over death itself, to destroy his enemies. Because that's what you do with power, right? You have your power, the first thing you do is you destroy your enemies, right? That's what people do with power. That's what people have always done with power. That's not, of course, what Jesus did. Again, they believed in Jesus. They believed in Jesus' power. But they did not believe Jesus in his words and in his actions when he said, love one another. When he healed people instead of condemning them. The people did not believe Jesus' predictions that he would die. They did not believe that he was going ahead of them to prepare a place for them. They did not believe him when he said the most important thing is to love one another. Love one another, Jesus said. And they couldn't figure out how to make that the thing to do. Now, the good news of this story is that Jesus gets it right for us, even when we get it wrong about him. Even when we demand the conquering hero who will vanquish our enemies, Jesus forgives us. Even when we forget that it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not the Lion of God who punishes the sins of the world. Jesus forgives us. Even when our cries for justice become demands for vengeance, as they did in this very story, as we'll hear later today, Jesus forgives us. So, my plea to you is this: this Holy Week, let us listen to Jesus. Cut through all the hype and the cultural stuff and the 2,000 years of myth-making about Jesus, much of which we buy into. But listen to Jesus this week. I ask you to come back here on hopefully Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, however you do it, or whatever church you go to next weekend. There's a lot of good church to be had. When you do that, bring fresh eyes and an open heart. And listen to Jesus' story. Listen to Jesus' words. And let Jesus' story become your story. Amen.